بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Every servant has a link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be it a believer, be it a non-believer. It is on account of this connection that you have, that you are alive. Without this connection, then you will cease to live. Life will come to an end straight away. So, just imagine that you are connected. On your phone, you are connected. So as long as you are connected, then you are alive. If they disconnect you, can you communicate for 1 second? But by the same token, can you see how you are connected? You can't see how you're connected. So this connection every person has, whether it's a believer, non-believer, and not just every person, every living thing, everything that is in this world has this connection with Allah Ta'ala. Anything, tree, plant, any other creation, and it has this connection with Allah Ta'ala. And it is because of this connection that it exists. And if this connection wasn't around, then it won't exist as well. Existence is gone. Even the existence won't be. Allah Ta'ala's sifat is wajid. Wujud bakhshne wala. The one that provides, gives existence. So even your existence, let alone your life, even your existence is subject to His approval. So if He wishes, then you get existence. No, then you disappear straight, finish. So the existence of anything for that matter, a planet, the earth, the trees, the plants, the stars, the moon, the ocean, whatever you can think of, its existence also depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, one easy way, we'll come to this topic again, one easy way to bring about good qualities in oneself is to think to yourself that whatever is in me is a reflection, whatever good I see in me is a reflection of His beauty. Even my existence is the reflection of His grandeur. Like you see the sun, it's a reflection, minuscule reflection of His greatness. Right? He wishes, and his wish is the existence of the sun. And when he no longer wishes, then is a shamsu kuvirat. It's finished, folded and gone, kalas. So his wish brings about existence. And then whatever we see in us is just the reflection of his beauty. And how you understand the reflection of the beauty is what you see in the mirror, is it the perfection of the mirror? If you yourself see something, you see yourself or see something else beautiful on the mirror, right? Is it the beauty of the picture, of the mirror, or the beauty of the mirror? Or you see an art, right? Is it the beauty of the paper upon which it is inscribed, not the beauty. So it's just a reflection of the original. It's a reflection of his beauty, nothing else. Hence, if you see anything, then this thought must cross your mind that it is not mine. I am not that, and it's not mine. It is just the beauty of his reflection. Now, this must be then firmly settled into the heart. It must not be just a thought. Because if it is just a thought, then it is just one other theory that's in your mind. They say that one person was speaking about himself. That's what happens to many people, that you'd commit a wrong. And at some point, you are ashamed of what you do. And after that, then you want to speak about the wrong that you do. Then you're not just comfortable with doing and practicing the wrong, but you want to speak about it. And then you want to boast about it. See? Like you see a video, or you read a wrong book, right? So then you want to talk about it. So one wrong was reading the thing or viewing it. That was one wrong. And then the other wrong is then you want to talk about it. You want to impress others about the wrong that you have done. So this compounds the wrong. Don't you see it in youngsters? Did they see a video or they see a wrong book, illicit, right? And they want to talk about it. So this compounds the wrong. And this really, it attracts the anger of Allah Ta'ala. Okay, you are doing the wrong, and then you are advertising it, promoting the thing. Rather than you being ashamed and embarrassed of yourself, you are talking about it, you're proud about it. Imagine someone is working for you, right? And he defies you, right? And after defying you, that he's proud about it. See, I defied the boss, man. Well, what is he? I could do this. I come late, so they can't do me anything. So the boss, how does he take it? Does he take it lightly? So when you get into that level where you want to defy, then this attracts the anger of Allah Ta'ala. So this is what happens with wrong. One is you do the wrong, and after that then you go to the level of defying, denying, advertising. So this is very serious in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. It brings the anger of Allah Ta'ala. And in the month of Ramadan, one is that person who's not fasting. All right, it's a guna. But then he's doing it openly. Openly in some shop or something, and they're all sitting together and enjoying themselves. So now that is serious, very serious. One is you are doing the wrong, but then you're doing it openly, defiant about it. One is you're drinking or taking something that is incorrect, but then you're doing it openly. See? Now this really is very serious. You feel ashamed, and you feel embarrassed, you think this is force of habit, I'm doing it, Allah Akbar, make me maaf, there's still the room is still open for you. So this person was in wrong, he was involved with someone else's wife. Involved. So now it happens to people that when they do that wrong, that at first then you're embarrassed about what you are doing. Then you become a little bit brazen and you want to talk about it. And then you want to boast about it. So there's a circle of friends and he's talking about it. In the meanwhile, that girlfriend knows about what he's doing. She's near there, and she knows what's happening. And her husband has to come up. And this is what he says, you know, I went there, and the good times we had, I had with that woman, you know, and what we didn't do, see. And now the girl she witnesses all this, she slipped a letter very secretly to him. See, my husband is here already now. What are you doing? So now he covers it up so nicely, so conveniently. So he says to the crowd that he's thrilling. What he's telling them? Then the dream just ended. Then the dream just ended. So he asked him, it was just a dream. See, how can it ever happen? It's a dream. So it mustn't just be a dream. It mustn't just be a thought. This must be a conviction planted deep into the heart. It's not just a thought, not just a theory. Something planted right into the recess of the heart. That whatever good, and that good is just a minuscule reflection of his grandeur, his beauty. It is just the reflection on the mirror. He wishes it's out. He wishes it's in and he wishes it's out. That reflection is not something that is part of the makeup of the mirror. It's not there. Right? So this is the one level of connection. Then you get a second level of connection, and that level of connection is enjoyed by every believer. Every believer has some connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu. So on account of this connection, that believer, he remains a believer. Right. He remains a believer because of this connection. The moment you said amantu billah, you connected. Like how, you know, the phone, you just say something, some couple of numbers you press and you get connected. Don't you get connected? Some numbers you have to press and you get connected. So the same, the moment you said amantu billah, then you got connected. Right. Now after you get connected, now it's your commitment, what level of commitment you've got. So, on account of this basic connection, the good that you get is then you are credited with points all the time. You know, you get these points you get. So, on account of this, then you get credited with points all the time. Every second, flash of a second, but the points are just being, you're just collecting points. So, a person is in iman, then as long as he's in iman, he's collecting points. Right? Whether he's sleeping, whether he's awake, whether he's in namaz, whether he's eating and enjoying himself, whether he's in intimacy with his family, whether he's doing business. But the moment you said amantu billah, now you're just cashing in. See? So what a great blessing it is to be just in iman only. Just in iman, but you're just cashing in all the time. Every second that is passing, and you're cashing in, getting rewarded, just for the iman, amantu billah. Iman is the basic of all deeds. For deeds, you get rewarded. For the basis of all deeds, won't you get rewarded? For namaz, you get rewarded. For roza, you get rewarded. Don't you get, as long as you're in fast, you're getting rewarded. So as long as you are in iman, you're going to get rewarded. Whatever state you are in, sleeping, talking, enjoying yourself, and whatever you're doing. But for as long as you are in iman, you're getting rewarded. So that will require that you must be pleased and happy about your iman. Not for a single second should you be remorseful, oh, I'm a mu'min now, I can't do this, and I have to fast, I must perform my namaz, etc. So that iman requires, the least it requires, that be grateful and be pleased about it. Be grateful, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, ala ni'matil iman, alhamdulillah. So that as long as you are living, and you are thanking Allah Ta'ala, and you are doing it, and you are doing it repeatedly, you're not just doing it once, because the reward is recurring. When the reward is recurring all the time, then the gratitude also should be recurring all the time. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. In the shop now, alhamdulillah, I'm iman. Because of my iman, Allah Ta'ala is blessing me. In what way is blessing me? I'm not doing the wrong now. Had I been not in iman, then I could have been doing something wrong just now. So alhamdulillah, ala ni'matil iman. There are several amal like that. that as long as you are in that amal, you're getting rewarded. One is, like I said, iman, right? One is nikah. As long as you are in nikah, and you're getting credited, you're just running, just moving. So in whatever state you are, but nikah is an ibadat. فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ نِصْفَ الْإِيمَانِ It's half the iman. So for the full iman, you're getting rewarded. For the half iman, won't you get rewarded? Cashing in all the time. Okay. And the reason that you're getting rewarded is because the nikah, one of the wording that they use for a married woman is, وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ النِّسَى Right. One of the wordings they use for a married woman is muhsanat. Muhsanat comes from the word hisn. Hisn is a fortress. So nikah is a fortress. As long as you got a wife, then your mind doesn't wander around. Oh, that Mukoti and this media and that Trombi that side. And if there isn't any woman, you don't have any wife then? Chances for your mind wandering, isn't it great? In anfusikum azwajan litaskunu ilayha. Now you got that wife, at least your mind is settled. So, one great thing that we should learn from this is that she is defending your iman. She is defending your iman, protecting and guarding your iman. So, on account of her protecting your iman, then overlook her misdemeanors and her inconsistency, the wrongs that she's doing here and there towards you, then just disregard it. The fact that she's protecting such a great thing in your life, your iman is being protected. Your thoughts are all collected. If she hadn't been around, where were your mind should have been wandering? So she helped you in your iman. So when she helped you in the best of things, then shouldn't you be the best person towards her? That is why Nabi was the best of people towards his family. To show us that when she's guarded the best of your things, then you should be the best of people towards her. So, this is one level of iman. That iman guards you from a lot of things that are unwanted. Right? At least it creates some type of realization in you. If you're not doing 5-time namaz, then you'll come to the masjid now and then. So that iman is bringing you to some level, to some recognition. Right? At least it is guarding you against kufr and disbelief. So that is now the entry level, very low level. But what it's doing for you, it's guarding you from disbelief. The same nikah also is bringing in reward, recurring reward all the time, as long as you are in nikah, because it's protecting you. This was protecting your iman. This is protecting your izzat. Your modesty and shame is protecting you. What it was nikah. Then there is a third thing also that for which you get a recurring reward. Showed you one was iman, right? Then one is nikah, a recurring reward. Then for keeping a beard, also the reward is recurring all the time. Or we do other incorrect things, nonsense we are doing. But you got that beard. So as long as you got that beard, then you are in sawab. As long as you got that beard. Sawab is just rolling, just rolling. But then the opposite is also true. That if you don't have that beard, then you're in guna all the time. You're in namaz, but you're in guna, imagine. Imagine, you are making tawaf, but you're in guna. You're sleeping, but you are in guna. You're getting up, and you're getting up in guna, in sin. So the opposite also holds true. If you have it, then you're in sawab. And if you don't have it, then you're in guna all the time. So you see these type of rewards, they are guarding you. See, like I said, that nikah is guarding you. Iman is guarding you. So the symbols of iman, like the beard, etc., they also guard you. Symbols of Islam and iman, they also guard you, they protect you. Azizi Rahmatullahi, we should liken the topi, as a cap, you know, as a cap or a lid. Now, that example is so beautiful. That example that Hazrat Muhammad is given is so beautiful. Right? If the lid and the cap is on the cold ring, right, then everything is preserved. But now you take the lid out and you want to sell the contents, people want to buy the thing now. See, now the gas is gone, right, the texture is no longer there now. So what will preserve your iman is the symbols of iman. The symbols of iman will preserve you. Now you got your topi on, you got your beard. Now you won't just go into a casino, will you go like that? There are some people who do that as well. Some people come and tell me all these things, all these stories. Won't give the names. They will tell you their stories. But that is a sign of shamelessness. The normal person has got some understanding and some decency. He's got a topi, he's got a beard. He won't walk into a place like that. He won't just flirt with a woman. He won't just go into a bar and sip something like that. Right? He won't do that. So you see this topi and this symbol of Islam, they guard you, they protect you. What you're not supposed to be doing, they will guard you against. So don't treat this thing, these symbols as insignificant things. They are great. Make shukr for that as well. Allah gave you the tawfiq to at least keep up some of the symbols of Islam. The topi, the beard, having the pants above the ankles, right? Wherever you go, then you got these symbols of Islam. I tell you, you just go onto the street and you see, look at an unbiased person, not a prejudiced person, right? He sees you dressed up with the symbols of Islam. His heart forces him to respect you. Don't you see? You'll see a lot of black people, and there's a lot of other people going in, but you walk, you wear with a topi, a beard, and a respectable dress, then they'll show you some level of decency, respect. They want to show you respect. Though they are Muslims, but they want to identify, say, you know, this is good. Yeah, Kosan, or they'll tell you Cheb, or Sagbon, or something. They want to show some respect. Now, what is prompting them? When that means that their hearts are unbiased. They are seeking for the truth. They don't see the truth yet. But that little truth that they have seen, they want to identify with it. And the hearts are forcing them, let's identify with this. Unless now someone has got some type of preconceived idea, preconceived notion against Islam, that's a different thing. But a man whose mind is clean, he wants to identify, he wants to respect that, show it. So just that symbol of Islam is such a great thing as well. So as long as you got that beard and these type of simple Islamic values, then you're getting reward for that. As long as you are in that, you are getting reward. So these simple things, why should we deprive of ourselves? Now you got the topi, you don't want to go and do a wrong thing. Right? Like the month of Ramadan, you don't want to eat in front of it, even if you're not fasting, but you don't want to eat in front of everybody. Why? Because you want to respect the symbol of Islam. The symbol of Islam, you want to respect it. So this also brings you that recurring reward all the time. As long as you are guarding those symbols of Islam, then you are in sawab all the time. Sawab is not decreasing, it's increasing all the time. So now this is the second level that every mu'min, every believer has with Allah Ta'ala, a connection that every believer enjoys. Then you want to have a special relationship. Right? What is every creation has with Allah Ta'ala? Second is a Muslim, he has a connection with Allah Ta'ala. Then you want to enjoy a special relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Right? Then you want to enjoy a special relationship. Then you must do something special. You want to be special, right? Then you must do something special. You don't want to do anything, but you want to be regarded as special. If you do something special, then Allah Ta'ala also will see you, He will see your distinctions. And sometimes you'll find a dignitary coming in, right? Some important person. Now, some youngster will come, he must run and go and meet that person. Now, sometimes it is that he wants to get the barakat out of it. But sometimes it is that he wants to show that he's got some connection with that imam or that dignitary. So now he's impressing. But what he's got against his credit? He's got nothing. But he wants to show that he's got some connection, you see. So you want to be special, then do something special. You'll do something special, then automatically Allah Ta'ala will love you. In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, fattabi'uni. So he's giving you the formula. Allah Pak is giving you the formula. There's the formula, do it. Right. So Allah Ta'ala hasn't hidden this formula away. And he says, I will love you. In kuntum tuhibbun Allah. You want that love. And love is a two-way traffic. It's not a one-way traffic. Do you appreciate a love that is from one side only? No. There is like marrying a doll, you know, a doll, mannequin. You want to pass your hand also. That just stand like that. Anything you do is going to stand like that. No response. So there's no point in getting married. Right? So love is a two-way traffic. There is some response, then you find fulfillment. If just one way, one side, then you don't find fulfillment. Like I say, it's like marrying one mannequin or take one doll like that. Better keep that in the house. It won't make noise also. Right. So you want the special relationship with Allah Ta'ala. When you want that special relationship with Allah Ta'ala, then you must do something special. Now, you don't do anything, وَيُلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلُ فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. So this is what is called that ambitions, aspirations. You're not doing anything, but your aspirations are very long and tall. Long and tall. Allah will do this to me and give me this and give me that. You know. But you're not doing anything. So you do something special, then you become special. And you're not doing anything special and you want to be counted as special, then how does that work? Right. You want to be in the business class, right? So you have to do something special. You have to get that amount of points. 16,000 points. Dependent on the journey that you undertake. You want that type of a ride, then bring that type of points. We'll treat you as special. You're a special guest now. I see all the stewards are very all around you. Sir, thank you. They make more thank you and sir than in the economy class. One day, I'll give you a different type of blanket, different type of food, everything different, to show you that you're special, very special. Right? But the difference is that by people you can be special, but to a certain point only. Right? Like a prime minister, until which point he is special? Until he's not served his term. After he served his term, you see the blue cars turn before him and turn after him. Or the blue cars all gone, finished. You serve your term now, but the blue cars are not for you any longer. So this is the worldly exclusivity, right? That exclusivity you get in this world is only for a certain term. It's not perpetual. As long as that traffic officer is there on the road with his uniform, and he's serving, then you will respect him. Boss, thank you, sorry. But the moment he served his term, finished, now you're going to show him the respect. You're going to give him a coke. You're not going to give anything. Nothing now. You're not going to offer him anything, any money for coke, for the hot day, anything, nothing. So the respect is only for that duration. You serve that finish, no respect. So that is now the relationship, the special relationship that you have in this world. Or for worldly reasons, right? Now the special relationship that you have with Allah Ta'ala. And Allah also counts you as special. One is, you think you have a special relationship. And one is, you have a special relationship and Allah also counts you as special. Then you can't retrogress. It's until إِلَّا أَيَّشَاءَ رَبُّكَ. Allah Ta'ala wishes, it's a different thing. But the norm is that you don't go backward after he's thrown you in, he's pushed you in, then you can't go back. Then it is like that mango that has ripened, right? The ripened mango, do you see it turning green again? Can't. So when he's put you in, then you don't go backwards. Like when he declared his Ridwan, his Rida, right? For the Sahaba Ikram, now this can't be reversed. But he's declared it. He's declared what? His Rida. When he's declared his Rida, he'll only declare the Rida after he knows that these people will remain on this. And if he knows that they were not going to remain, then he's not going to declare Rida. Declare it today and then reverse it tomorrow. He's not going to do that. He'll only declare perpetual happiness when he knows that in future also these people are going to behave. Then he'll declare his Rida for them. Right? And his knowledge covers all times. When Allah's knowledge covers all times, so he's declared his Rida for them. He's declared his happiness for them. So the same, when he declares his friendship for someone, then this friendship is then perpetual. Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was in India. And Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was in Makkah Mukarrama. And Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was very firm. In Shari'i matters, he was firm. So, if he knew that this will eventually lead to some corruption, some problem, then he won't allow it. Someone came up to Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and said that Hadi Sahib has allowed me to participate in Sima. He's allowed it. It's permissible. Right. So now, who's Hadi Sahib? Hadi Sahib is his peer, his sheikh. Now, Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah has got two things to see now. One is, I need to see the masliyat of deen, the expediency of deen. And one is, I need to respect my sheikh as well. But now, what is greater? The greater thing is to respect deen. Because the sheikh also wants me to respect the deen. And all his encouragement is for what? It's for deen. It's not for his person. Is it for his person or is it for deen? You connected with him for what? For his person or for his deen? His person is a secondary thing. You will like him, right? Zat et Turabi, that's a different thing. You will like him, but at a secondary level. But at the primary level, your connection is based on the basis of deen. So the whole effort and the whole endeavor is for deen, right? So you love him for what? For deen. For his deeni commitment, right? Na'uzubillah, if he was not committed to deen, would you have that type of relationship? You wouldn't have had the relationship. So your commitment to him is for what? For deen. So now he's got two things to consider here. One is the deeni maslihat. And one is the zati maslihat. Now what is muqaddam? What gets priority? The zat or the deen? The person or the deen? What's more important? Because if you were to compromise the deen, right, then to rectify the situation is going to be very difficult. So this is permissible now. The whole world is doing all the wrong now. To reverse it is going to be easy. Very difficult. So the deeni maslihat can't be sacrificed. Sometimes it happens that you see some person that you respect, etc., is doing something. So now, you don't want to speak against it because of his respect. So what's the greater thing? The person or the deen? What is greater? He is great. We will not compromise in his respect. But now, what is the two, between the both, what is the greater thing? The person or the deen? What is greater? Obviously, the deen is greater. See, it's a very sensitive thing. You don't want to disrespect the person who's brought you on, who's led you on. You don't want to disrespect him. But then you've got the other thing to consider also is deen now. What are you going to do? How are you going to join the both? How are you going to connect the both? Now, especially at the position of Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, because he is the Qutbul Irshad number one, And he set precedent in the entire, for the entire Indian subcontinent. At that time, India, Bangladesh, Afghanistan, Ceylon, Pakistan, everything is one at that time. There was no partition at that time. So he's a precedent. Everybody looks at him, what he's doing. Now, if he turns on one end, then everybody will do the same thing. Because everybody is taking him as a proof. Now, are they talking about Sima? And Sima and what we're doing in this Jalsa, the Nazam, is identical. There's no difference. Because in the Nazams that we're training the children to read here, is we are training them in a professional style. It's not unprofessional. So when it's in a professional style, then what's the difference then? Right. There's no difference. Nonetheless, Admiral Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali told the person, "You are speaking a lie. You are mistaken. And if you are speaking the truth, then Hazrat Hari Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has erred here. He has made a mistake. See now how he's speaking. You have made a mistake. But if you are speaking the truth, then Hazrat Hari Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has made a mistake. Because in these matters, Hari Sahib Rahmatullah Ali normally refers to us. Because he is an imam in a certain department. In tasawuf, he is an imam. So because he's an imam in that department, in that regards, therefore we will follow him there. Right? But in fiqh, etc., then we are his imam. We will lead him in fiqh. But in tasawuf, he will lead us. So there's two different things. One is tasawuf and one is fiqh. And two different things, worlds apart. Right? So in tasawuf, he is our leader. Unanimously we agreed, there isn't a person better than him, according to us. In our understanding, there isn't a person. And this is why they say that your sheikh, you consider him to be the best. But now this is not prying into the ghaib, not getting into the ghaib. Because to say the best, that you must know what Allah Pak knows. Yes, in your understanding, you can say that this is the best. But they impress this teaching. Why do they tell you to think of your sheikh to be like that? Why do they? They say you to do this because a very great motivating factor is the jamiyat al-qalb. It's approximate words or more time today, right? It's the jamiyat of the qalb. In other words, it's the collection of your heart. Your heart not being scattered. The thoughts are not being scattered. That's the thing that carries you. Right? Now, if your mind keeps wondering that he's a better person or that is the better person, this person is a better person or that is the better person, will your thoughts remain collected? Like a person, he's got a wife, right? But he keeps thinking that, you know, the other woman is better than my wife. And I only married that one. Will he be loyal, faithful, truthful to his wife? Can't be. But if he thinks to himself that for me this is the best, then will his heart wander around? His heart won't wander around. So you really don't know who's the best, but for the collection of your thoughts, you say this person is the best for me. So when your thoughts are collected, then you move in a very consistent and in a good manner. You know, your mind is not all mixed up. It's not scattered. Mind is collected. So you think of your sheikh to be like that. Why? So that your thoughts get collected. Not because really he is something like that. No. In your search, in your understanding, you feel for your need he's the best. So anyway, what we are getting at, because of Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah's firm stance, very, very firm stance, he had a lot of opposition as well for some time. When a person is very, very strong, very firm, then he has criticism, critics also, oppositions as well here. Right? So when you find opposition and criticism, then don't think now that you lost because of the criticism. What happens to most of us is that when we got some support, then we feel encouraged. And when we see criticism and people turning against you, then that motivation is killed. So don't look at people. You look at people, you'll go off. Look at Allah Ta'ala and just continue. So anyway, after some time, Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah had come to Makkah Mukarrama. Now, in Makkah Mukarrama, he met up with Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah told him, see, Mawlana Rashid Ahmad, there's a lot of people that speak out against you, right? And they complain about you to me. That this is what you say about Sima, etc., etc. This is what you say. Right? So there's a lot of people that complain against you to me. Right? But that doesn't affect me in the least bit. It doesn't change the position. Your position is not changed. You're still the same. It doesn't change the position at all. It doesn't alter your position in any way. Like yesterday we read that article that Mawlana Waris Hussain Sahib Rahmatullahi, and he saw, or his murid had seen, that murid that used to speak about this Buzrugan ad-Din as kafir, as a mushrik, etc. And he had seen Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi and sitting two-legged before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? And then Nabi Sallam had embraced him, you know. And he complained that people speak out against, why they're speaking out against me. And Nabi Sallam said that, but I don't speak out against you. In other words, let them carry on. You know what? Our connection hasn't been affected in any way. That's the meaning. More or less, it's the meaning. Right? So nonetheless, Hadith Sahib Rahmatullahi encouraged Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi. He says, you see, let them speak as they want to. Don't worry about that. Don't pay attention to that. Because our relationship, our connection is for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. It is not for something that is material. When it is for Allah Ta'ala, it is not for some material cause, then material is not perpetual. It's transitory, it's fleeting. It comes to an end, right? Like I showed you, the Prime Minister, right? The relationship is transitory. After that term, the respect is gone. But when our connection is for Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala is everlasting. He's always, He was and He will be. So our relationship is for what? For Allah Ta'ala. So when our relationship is for Allah Ta'ala, as Allah Ta'ala is forever eternal, so our relationship also will be eternal. It's not a temporary, transitory, fleeting relationship. Rather, it's an eternal relationship. So don't you worry about their criticism. Don't you worry about them speaking out against you. Now look at the stance. One is like, I showed you this, but what I'm showing you, that both focus is what is deen. Because Hadith Sahib also heard, must have heard, that he's speaking out against me. That is a fact. But did it alter the relationship? A relationship hasn't altered. A relationship is as it were. No, the relationship is not altered in the least. It is as it were. Because both goal is deen. That whatever we are doing, deen ki baka ke liye, deen ki hifaat ke liye, deen ki taraqi ke liye, deen ki qiyam ke liye, that's what we are doing. He is doing the same and he is doing the same. So when they see that the goal is the same, so he doesn't oppose him. He doesn't say anything against him. He understands that whatever has been done, is done what for? For the progress of deen. To sustain deen. To preserve deen. This is what he's doing. He's doing for what? For the preservation of deen he's doing. Right? Like when it's a child that is being taken to a doctor, right? So the child is crying. He's making a moan. Right? He's shouting all that, right? But the parent won't do anything. Parent will, with a smile, he'll give the fees to the doctor, came 500 rand or something, and he'll walk out with a smile, right? Because The child doesn't know what's going on. Child doesn't know what's going on. But the parent knows that it is for the preservation of this child that we are going for this treatment. He's taking an injection. The treatment is going for what? For the preservation, to sustain this child. But he can't understand it. So therefore, the one that is elder, he knows. So the Hadith of Rahmat knows whatever Maulana Gangohar Rahmat is doing, so that injection is required by this ummat. It may seem to be difficult, but it, for the preservation and for the continuity, this is required. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Naseeb.